for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, November 27th, 1987. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the speaker of the evening. Brother Jack Harris comes from down in the ranch land of East Texas, and the Lord's raised up an old ranch hand to bring the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We're coming to a great privilege to have him this evening.
Thank
Brother
the Lord.
Harris.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I know what the psalmist was talking about. I think it would probably be more true tonight than it was when he penned those beautiful words. If the only hope we had was what we can see in the land of the living through the governmental political systems, and so we'd be, of all men, with the Apostle Paul, most miserable, wouldn't we?
Amen.
We would faint unless we could believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm always happy to come to this convention spot, this Lake Hamilton. It's always a pleasure to be with Glenn Nama. I invoke choice blessings for them. They took the words of the Lord, and when they began to follow him, they forsook all. Glenn made mention here, and I know this all to be true, and they just forsook all. It cost them something to come this way. It really cost them more than they're telling you about. It cost in other categories besides the monetary system. It always does if you would follow Jesus, if you would follow him. You heard the story of the new pastor that went to pastor what he considered to be a fairly dignified church, and he didn't know just how he'd handle the situation. So he had doctors and lawyers and merchants and the whole bit, and he felt kind of like a country boy. He had some politicians, so he decided for the first Sunday he'd just preach on politics, in which he did. And the next time he came for the next Sunday service, he found in his basket a note, and it said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And he had for a topic that Sunday, he was going to teach on the sincerity and honesty in sports. She did, and did it remarkably well. And the next Sunday, he come to find another note in his basket, and it said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." So the next Sunday, he came, and he did like Philip. He began in the Scriptures and preached Jesus. And when he returned for his fourth sermon, he found a note in his basket. And he was a little bit apprehensive as he unfolded the note. And it said, "Sir, didn't our hearts burn within us?"
Hallelujah.
As he unfolded Jesus to us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank the Lord. It is because of him that we are here, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord forever.
Hallelujah.
Praise the lovely Lord. I'm just praising him. Just we talk about praising the Lord, and we continue to praise him now. We're just kind of doing it in another order than we were a few minutes ago. So let's don't get away from the praise.
Hallelujah.
Because he's worthy of all praise, isn't he? Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. I'd like to begin to preach tonight on a message that I'll entitle, God Confirms His Word and His Kingdom. God confirms His Word and His Kingdom. There are some scriptures that I'd like to point us toward. As I get into the lesson here in chapter 6 of Proverbs, and verse 22, I'll just read the key verse for to save time here. He's talking about the word, and he says, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee." And as I said, he is referring to the Word of God and declares that it will lead us, it will keep us, and it will talk to us. Hallelujah. And in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6 and verse 6, he tells us about the Word here. And I'll read a few verses of Scripture and before we begin to maybe not follow too much of a system here as we just minister by revelation. Praise the Lord. In the sixth chapter, in the sixth verse, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on the gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Well, he's talking about keeping the word always before us. I was thinking of the psalmist said it like this: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that shall bring forth his fruit in his season, and also his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break his bands from us. Let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron, dice them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye, kings, be wise, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with ye, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in thee. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, There's no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory. You're the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and I slept, and I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, O Lord, and save me, my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of thy people. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it's too late. I've already set my king in my holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the political system do what it will. Let the heathen, let the nations rage.
Hallelujah.
Let them tremble in fear and let them ring out their threats, but it's too late. God has already set his king in his holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. And it pleases God that through him he may bring many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to preach on the, as you probably already have decided, I'm going to preach on the Word and the Kingdom of God. The first message, basically, that Jesus preached when he came out of the wilderness after having been tempted by Satan, he preached his first message, and in St. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, and it was this simple: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, that's very brief, but it's very informative. Hallelujah. It tells us, number one, that repentance is the way into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You have to be, if you would, tonight ascend to the lofty position that I'll be telling you about, you will have to learn to be a good repenter.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you're not good at anything else, you be good at repenting.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, of course, when you talk about repenting, people think you're talking to the lost. No, they have the attitude, I've already repented. Well, I repented when I got saved. I did too. But I've done a lot more repenting since. Hallelujah. Amen. And I suspect that I'll be doing a lot more. Hallelujah. Amen. If I come to the point that I'm trying to attain to. You know what? I'll be telling you what I'm going to attempt to attain to. Hallelujah. I have good reason to have this blessed hope. Well, I was preaching on repentance one time, and one lady took offense, and she said, Brother, I'm not going to repent. I hadn't done nothing. I said, well, bless God, you ought to repent because you hadn't done nothing then. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All right, number two, it tells us that the kingdom is of, it comes from somewhere else. It derives from another place. It derives from another source. Hallelujah. It is a kingdom. He called it the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. St. Matthew and the King James says kingdom of heaven. But it's the same thing. And he says, so we find out that its source derives from another. It is the kingdom of God is in us. And we are in the kingdom. And isn't that amazing? The kingdom of God's in us and we're in the kingdom of God. Well, that's not too mind-boggling. Then he says, the third thing that we learned is that it's not necessarily something that is a way off. He said it is at hand. That means that it is attainable. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I know that what we really have here is a passage. We're in the kingdom, and we have a passage into the kingdom. We're in a, it's as if we were on a bus that's in the kingdom, taking us into the kingdom of God. Here we're training for reigning in the kingdom. Now I practice a kingdom walk, if you don't like the word practice, I come through the old line Pentecost and they don't like to use the word practice, but you won't mind. I'm practicing a kingdom walk. Hallelujah. And if you practice a kingdom walk, you have to walk beyond your natural abilities. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what my hope is? Hallelujah. I hope to live and reign with Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know what my hope used to be? My first hope was, the first actual hope that I had was, I hoped I'd die and go to heaven. I hoped that for about the first 10 years that I was in the ministry. And then I got a little more revelation, and I quit hoping I'd die and go to heaven. Now I hope that I'll live and reign with Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's a better hope. The other hope was all, it was good, But I just seen a better hope. And now I'm hoping that I'll live and I'll reign with him. I have scriptural reason to believe that I may do that. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to impart to you the spirit of revelation right now. Hallelujah. Amen. So that you can have an understanding of what I may say as the Spirit directs me or as I get into the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I invoke the spirit of revelation on this people tonight, Heavenly Father. May the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Hallelujah. That they may know what is that blessed hope. What is his inheritance in the saints? And what is the power that he has bestowed and invoked in us? That we may know how to walk to Zion. Hallelujah. I tell you now in the outset that I hope to walk into life. I said that God confirms his word. Now, we're living, you know, this day almost, if I didn't know God as I do, and in spite of that, sometimes this day scares me. when I see the unrest, and the turmoil, and the distance that we appear to be from what I know that we'll have to be to come to his kingdom in the fullness that I'm speaking of. But I have this hope and I have this knowledge. Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. So I have to conclude that we're in better shape than we look like we are. You understand that? I believe the Lord spoke to me here once. I was worrying about that not too long ago. I don't know, maybe it was a year or two or three, you know. And the Lord spoke to me and told me not to try to evaluate the progress anymore. Just keep on walking. Just keep coming to me, he said. And quit trying to evaluate your progress or the progress of my people. See, and so now I know that that it comes not by observation, but it's in us, and we might be closer than we think. You know what? I believe the next big thing on the agenda is the earnest expectation of the creature. Romans 8 and verse 19:20, isn't it? The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is my hope, that we will be manifested sons of God. In verse 14, that same chapter, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But I'll tell you, everybody that's claiming to be led by the Spirit is not being led by the Spirit. You can, I see people all over the country that, you know, it's I'm just led by the Spirit, and they're walking just in directly contrary to the Word of God, and couldn't possibly be led by the Spirit. And some of them are very sincere in their reckoning, because you know why that is? Because there is a spirit of deception in the land that is unparalleled in the dispensations behind and in the ages behind us. There is now in the earth a spirit of deception that beats them all, and so we have to judge everything by the Word of God and the Spirit. And judge nothing before it's time, he said, didn't he? Hallelujah. Oh, the timing of God is beautiful. I said then that, in the Genesis chapter, in Genesis chapter 30, maybe it's, let me look here. I've got lost here just momentarily. In 41, in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 32. Now, I'm just going to read the verse that I want here. I'll tell you the story surrounding it if you would have me to. And Joseph. This is Joseph interpreting the dream for the Pharaoh. And he says, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, Pharaoh had a dream of the seven fat kine and the cows, and then the seven lean ones. And the lean ones eat up the fat ones, and so, you know, and that's how that Joseph comes to his authority, is to interpret in this dream. But he said the reason that it was doubled is because that the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, this is telling us that God confirms his word. That he speaks a word, and then he confirms a word. And since in the move of God we move so much by a prophetic word, it is always good to have a word of direction, and then have that word confirmed. And that is, then when he confirms it, if you get a word of direction from a prophet or an apostle foundation ministry or presbytery, and it registers with your spirit, and it's what you've been feeling anyhow. But it's good to wait and then the next time a prophet or an apostle or foundational ministry lays hands on you and says the same thing, then he says, now it is established. It's established in you. All you have to do is, God's ready now to bring it to pass. He's ready to throw it into motion. Too many people have made shipwreck by trying to be directed by the prophetic word. When those that were giving the prophetic word really didn't have any authority to give that kind of a word. If you understand what I'm saying here. All right, let me take you back to Genesis chapter 1, and I'll show you here, and we'll move from here. Now, notice that in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth. And then he tells them that they can eat of all, what all they can eat of. And then in the 31st verse, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. All right, now, I read that to say this, that in verse 27, God created man in his own image. He created him male and female, and he blessed him in the 28th verse, and gave them dominion over all the fish in the sea. That's as deep as man could comprehend when this was written. And over the fowl of the air, that's as high as he could comprehend. And over everything that moved, that was the scope of his comprehension. In other words, he gave him dominion over his entire creation. Now God had it fixed just the way that he wanted it at the end of this age that we are in, that we are approaching very quickly, even now. As we come to the end of this age, God will have, now it doesn't matter, let the heathen rage and let the religious systems imagine vain things, but God already has set his king in his holy hill of Zion. I declare unto you upon the authority of the word of God and the spirit that bears witness within me that at the end of this age, God will have a man in the earth again in his own image, hallelujah, in his own likeness, and that man will have dominion over God's creation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, only this time it will be a many-membered man, a corporate body. It will be the sons of God. But God is showing us here what he will do. And he's giving us this blueprint. All right? Now, let me show you here in the, if you're following me here, in the beginning, God. In verse 1. Verse 2, and God moved upon the face of the waters. That's the latter part of the verse. Verse 3, God said. Verse 4, God saw. Verse 5, God called. God said. God made. Are you following me right on down through the verses? God called. God said. And verse 10, God called. And verse 11, God said. Verse 16, God made. And on you go. Verse 17, God set. S-E-T. That's what God's doing now. He's setting. You see, when he sets you in, it pleased God to set in the church such as would please him. First apostles and prophets secondary, and then teachers. And well, of course, the sequence is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But God sets them in. S-E-T. When you see the word S-E-T, that means somebody else did it. Hallelujah. God set me in. God set you in. And he set us in divine order. All right, now, verse 22, God, and God blessed. Verse 24, God said, and on it goes. And then he creates man in his own image that we read. And he seen that it was good. We read that in verse 31. And then in chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works, blessed the seventh day, and rested from all his works and all the things that he had created and made. Now verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Do you see anything? All right, I show you then what you missed if you don't see anything here. I read, for God, 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 God said, God blessed, God did, God made, God created. Now when he got man created in his own image, had a man in the earth in his own image, in his own likeness, and that man had dominion over his creation, then he calls himself the Lord God.
Yes, hallelujah.
There's been, hallelujah. Well, I don't want to be sacrilegious. Do you think that God got a promotion? Well, hallelujah. Amen. Something happened here. But you see, the reason that he does this, God didn't get a promotion. We did. The reason he does this is because until he has a kingdom, he's just God. But when he has somebody in, when he has a kingdom that is yielded to him, as long as he just has that creation, he God created. But when he gets this man focused in his own image and in his own likeness and obedience to him, he now has a kingdom. So he becomes the Lord God to the world. When you call him Lord, you're paying him the highest tribute. That means that you surrender completely to his lordship. That you move at his bidding. Hallelujah. You are his. He is the king. He is the Lord, and we are the subjects. Now, as we move into the kingdom then, all right? Now, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll move to some scriptures here. I hate to take you on a Bible quiz, but it's the only way that you can, you know, it's the only way that some of us can understand it, you know. I'm sure that some may have never and are not too familiar with this type of teaching message. All right, in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and become a better, more perfect high priest, as he'll go ahead to say here. But I'm primarily interested in the fact that God at sundry times and divers manners in a lot of places and in many ways spoke He spoke in times past unto our fathers by the prophets. But now He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir. Now, when He was speaking by the prophets to our fathers, He was speaking about the Son. They were talking about Jesus. All the Scriptures were talking about Him. And now that He has spoken to us through His Son, you know, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of Me." But the next verse says, "And you will not come to Me." You embrace Me in the Scriptures, but when the Scriptures are personified by the Word of Life, you won't come to Me. You come to Me in the Scriptures, and you glory in the beautiful poetic prophecies concerning Me. But when I stepped out of the Scriptures and confronted this religious order, you wouldn't come to Me. You came as far as you could come by the Scriptures, but when I presented Myself the living Word, you couldn't understand that. You couldn't come. You wouldn't come to Me that you might have that life. In the Scriptures you think you are finding eternal life, but they all are speaking of Me. And when I came out of the Scriptures, life is big as life. Indeed, life in reality, you could not. No, you wouldn't come to Me. Hallelujah. He couldn't find a religious order that He could attach Himself to. No, He wouldn't find one today either that He could attach Himself to. Even the most elite of the move of God, I think that He would feel uncomfortable, hallelujah, among that elite group of the elect of the elect. Well, so what are we going to do? Some things going to have to be changed, aren't they? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, He's working on that. He's working on that. And it's too late to stop the process, for He's already set His King in His holy hill of Zion. Nothing can stop it. Hallelujah. Nothing can hinder. At least there's 144,000 people in the world right now that is going to walk in the life. Hallelujah. Now I have declared My candidacy all over the world. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are, what does it take to be a candidate? You have to be alive and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you are alive and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are a candidate if you want to run. Hallelujah. Amen. And I said I have already declared My candidacy. From here to yon and from yon to here, all over this nation and regions beyond, I have declared that I'm a candidate. Now what do I have to do? I've got to make my calling and election sure. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how am I? I don't know. I got a good campaign manager. Hallelujah. Amen. You know who my campaign manager is? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know if I... you know Esther... You remember the story of Esther in the second chapter of Esther, and you come to about verse 13, tells you that when the maidens come to go before the king, after they were purified and taught by this man, Higgy, who is representative of the Holy Ghost, and when it came time for him to go into the king's presence, well, they could choose anything they wanted to out of the... well, we might just turn back over there and you can see the reel of it. In the 13th verse of the second chapter of Esther, "Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. What was it? Yeah. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shehagaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by him. Now when the turn of Esther, here it is, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, and this Haggai is a type of the Holy Ghost, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. All right, here is the story. It is apparent and so stated that after they were trained just to the fullest degree, that before they was going to go into the king the next day or at the appointed time, they were taken by their trainers into a big hall or big room, evidently, and there were many ornaments. Of decoration, of cosmetics, and whatever, scarves, and maybe beads. Well, you know, I'm not for or against any of these things. I'm neutral. Amen. On all of those things. But I'm just telling the story here as it is, because I'm not interested in the natural of it anyhow. Hear me by the Spirit. I'm only interested in the spiritual aspect. I don't care. I couldn't care less about beads and pearls and things. Amen. But I'm interested in the spiritual aspect. When it came time for them to go in, they could walk in there and look around. Now, they were fixed as beautiful as Haggai could fix them. And he had them fixed to the best possible acceptance, to give them the best chance for acceptance by the king. And it is evident that when those that went before Esther came in, they chose something to enhance their beauty. Might have just been a scarf. Some women look good with a scarf over their head. Not really. Well, some covering more than others. All right. Maybe they chose a set of pearls, you know, or maybe a bracelet, or maybe both. But, all right, but when it come Esther's turn to go, the Bible said that she didn't choose anything. She didn't choose anything, and yet she made the choicest of choices. You know what she chose to do? She chose to let the Holy Ghost, Haggai, the one, because you see, Esther doesn't know the king. She's never seen him except at a distance. She doesn't know his temperament. She doesn't know what he considers beautiful and what he considers less beautiful. She doesn't know any of these things. But she figures Haggai does. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's good figuring, isn't it? So she says in her own heart, she says, I'm just going to go like the trainer has prepared me. Now I said that to say this, the spiritual aspect of that is that I said I had a good campaign manager in my candidacy to make the 144,000. If I can let him present me, if I can get out of the way. Hallelujah. And if I can just let him present me to the best possible chance of being accepted in the beloved, if I can just let him prepare me and just not employ my own desires, my own wants, and to appease my own sight for beauty, but to appear before him as the Holy Ghost has directed me. Now I stand a chance to be one of that 144,000. And I will not relinquish that chance until the election is over. Hallelujah. Amen. And as far as I'm concerned, the election won't be over as long as I'm alive. Hallelujah. Now, Now, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14 that has a mark of God, the seal of God in their forehead, and they have not been defiled with women. They are virgins. That means they've not been defiled or are not defiled with the religious systems, which is portrayed, a woman portrays the religious system, the church. But they have followed the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Hallelujah. That's the 144,000 that have been perfected. They must walk into life to turn the switch on the time clock. Hallelujah. And when they have walked into life, then that's just the first fruits. There's a general harvest behind. Hallelujah. Amen. If I miss the first fruits, hallelujah, get in the general harvest. All right. Suppose that I go by the way of the grave. I'm talking about not going by the way of the grave. You understand that? Somebody said, he's preaching never die. No, I'm preaching living forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said to Martha, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And said, but I know now that whatever you say is it. I mean, you know, that's. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me. Yeah, most people quote this, they say, he that believeth on me. But it's he that believeth in me. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he turned around to Martha and said, you understand all of this theology? No, he didn't. He turned to her and said, do you believe? Do you believe? Whereupon she exclaimed emphatically, yeah, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the one that is to come. Hallelujah. I believe that you were the object of all the prophetic projections. Hallelujah. Yes. All she had to do was believe. Believe. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm alive, and I believe in Him. Hallelujah. And He said, if I do that, I will never die. Amen. Amen. Well, all right. Yeah, now, I'll have to qualify that a little bit by saying that it's possible. It is possible. I don't cherish the idea at all, but it is possible that I might shed this tabernacle. This that you see is a tabernacle here. It's a tent. Hallelujah. It's house. 250 pounds of it. House. But Paul said, we know that if this earthly house be dissolved, we've got another one in the heavens. Ah, hallelujah. And this one's not made by man. Hallelujah. And so while we are in this house, he said, we do groan, travailing in pain together. We're wanting to be delivered from this house that we might be clothed upon. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get delivered from this house just to be a spirit floating out yonder somewhere. Amen. We want to get out so we can get in. Hallelujah. Amen. Get in that heavenly house. Amen. Yeah. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And that word sleep is die. Same word as he uses for die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, hallelujah, we shall be changed in a moment. We shall not all sleep. I think sometimes I'm a little bit hypocritical. I go to, you know, I
get called in for a funeral, and I go to the some son here, and his daddy's dead, and I seek out the son, and I say, "I'm sorry about your dad." He says, "Well, Brother Jack, thank you. I'm glad you come. Thank you for coming, and appreciate you all you're doing for us. But we all got to do this." And you know what I usually say? I usually say, "Yeah." See, he's a whole lot more honest than I am. He really, when he said we all got to do this, he believes that. But I'm saying, "Yeah, and I know better." Amen. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that we all have to die. But it does say that there are some that won't, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Yeah, praise. Let me give you a scripture here before you think. See, you'll have to get this tape and listen at it and see it. I'm staying with the scriptures if you're not used to the way that I do here. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. 7 is the verse I really want. You got that? "Who will render to every man according to his deeds?" Talking about God that's going to render to every man according to his deeds. "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory." Now listen to this. "They seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Are you seeking for all those things?
Yes.
Well, no, my dad didn't seek for all of them things. But my dad was a good Christian and loved the Lord, but he wasn't seeking for honor, immortality, and eternal life. He was not seeking for immortality and eternal life because nobody didn't tell him to. Nobody ever told him to. He was born to a generation that was born to die. Hallelujah. And nobody had the revelation, though it was in here all the time. But nobody ever told my dad, "Seek for immortality and eternal life, brother." Nobody told him to, so he didn't know to do it. He didn't do it. And he died at, well, don't feel too sorry for him. He died at 97. It's a pretty good little ways, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know what he did when he done that? He joined that cloud of witnesses.
Hallelujah.
No, you know what he's doing now? He's there in the grandstand. He's waiting for me to kick a field goal. Hallelujah. Amen. Because they without us can't be made perfect. Hallelujah. He's waiting for this 144,000 to walk into life so he can be resurrected. Hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. "Thy brethren would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," or the real word is precede, "them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and there shall we ever be with the Lord." I believe that to be talking about the translation of the sons of God. Somebody said, "Well, who is them coming back with him?" I said, "If you stick around till I go by the way of the grave, one of them will be me." Hallelujah. Amen. I'll be coming back with him to claim the redemption on the adoption of my redemption of my body. Hallelujah. And have it changed like unto his glorious body. But that's so if I go by the way of the grave, I hope not to go that way. I'd like to walk into life and be changed momentarily, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody's going to do it, my friend. Somebody's going to do it. And then will come the harvest, and after the harvest there is a gleaning. And then the kingdom age, the dispensation of the kingdom will be ushered in. And all that ain't hid then can't hide over. But
But this they will do. The rest of the dead rise not again for a thousand years. That's Scripture, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Rest of the dead rise not again for a thousand years. But when the thousand years are expired, the sea gives up its dead. And all that have died, both small and great, and you get down to about 12th, 13th verse in the 20th chapter of Revelation, and they're being judged by the things written in the books. It says a book, the books were open, it says. I believe that's that 12th verse. And the books were opened. B-O-O-K-S, books, plural, that's two, at least two, isn't it? And then the book was open. That's one, that's another one, that's at least three. And everybody that's not found written in the book of life, well, you know they are lost. But if they're found written in the book of life, then they're judged out of the other books. The other books are books of works. One of them, well, it's actually, I opened about five books there, according to scriptures, though. All of them are scriptural. All right, so God in times beyond spoke by the prophets. They projected Jesus. And then Jesus, all right, let's look here. They couldn't do any prophesying until they began to project Jesus, and even beyond that, in the 19th chapter. Now, let's see, in the 8th chapter of Psalms, let's go to the 8th chapter instead of 19. In the 8th chapter of Psalms and verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And hast made it, thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He's talking about Adam in the garden. Not he's talking about first Adam here when he begins, but before he gets through, he's talking about the last Adam. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. That's Adam, when he was placed in the garden, was just a little lower than the angels. And Jesus, let me give us some more scripture. He was a little lower than the angels. All right, let's turn over here to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read a verse or two of Scripture here, and I'll enlighten it to us, and we'll be well on our way here then. All right? In the 16th verse of the 3rd chapter of 1 Timothy, and we're reading now, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, before I expound that, let me reiterate that God in the beginning spoke to His people, His creation, through the prophets, by the prophets. Before He sent any prophets on the scene, He spoke to them through nature, through His creation. In the first chapter of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 20 said the things that are seen, the things that are to come are clearly seen by the things that are. You could look at nature and see the spiritual coordination of it. All right? So God had a message for us. He wanted to show us His plan for the ages. And so He, after Babylon, He chose out a man from right out from the Babylonian system that had worshipped idols. And He focused His attention on that man. His name was Abram, whom God changed later to Abraham. And God seemed to kindly ignore the rest of the population and focused on Abraham and his descendants. But God had a purpose and a plan for the ages, and that He would, in the fullness of time, the Word would become flesh and would dwell among men. And this would be a revelation of the... Jesus would become the visible expression of the invisible God. Now, let's see here. And without controversial, Paul said, if I say that godliness is a mystery, I won't get
It probably won't be disputed, he said. Without controversy, it's a mystery. Then he tells what makes it a mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. All right? That is kindly a mystery, isn't it? Unless you can know by the Spirit, it remains a mystery. Until it pleases God to open the eyes of the blind, they will remain blind. All right? God was manifest in the flesh. What does this mean? That God became the Word. The Word became alive. And God placed all of the Word of God into His Son. And His Son came and was made flesh. But I'll show you. Let me expound this a little bit, and then I'll show you just how that He did that. Hallelujah. Amen. All right? God was manifest in the flesh. That's a great mystery. He was justified in the Spirit. All right? Now, the priests before Him had been justified by their ceremonies.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.